Hello, and welcome to the Write Club podcast, where we take you behind the pages and into the fascinating world of writing. I'm Mary, and this is Beth, and we're part of the team at Writing Magazine and Writers Online. Hi, Beth, how are you?
Yeah, I'm really well, thank you. Really looking forward to this book club episode where every month we choose a book that was featured in the latest issue of Writing Magazine to read and discuss. Today it's The Drownings by Hazel Barkworth. Hazel studied English at Oxford. She then moved to London where she worked as a cultural consultant. Hazel is a graduate of both the Oxford University MST in Creative Writing and the Curtis Brown Creative Novel Writing course. Her debut novel, Heatstroke, was published by Headline in 2020, and you can find out more about Hazel soon as she is going to be a guest on the podcast.
I'm really looking forward to chatting about this book, Beth. But before we get started, my favourite thing to do is read the back of a book and then the first page. I'll know then if I want to read on. So here's what it says on the back.
On a remote university campus in the north of England, famed for the wild waters that surround it, two cousins arrive for the new term. Zara wants to be at the centre of everything Laysham has to offer. Serena, an ex-champion swimmer, struggles to find her place. When they meet Jane, a beguiling and ambitious postgrad obsessed with historical local witch trials, both are drawn in by her desire to expose Laysham's dark legacy, a centuries-old culture of violence among the privileged elite. As protests flare across the campus, a simmering rivalry takes hold between the cousins. But when cracks start to appear in Jane's stories, everything spirals out of control. Would you like to read page one?
Yeah, sure. Darkness fell differently in that nook of the north, earlier in the year and earlier in the day. It made the mid-afternoon desolate. The northern campus was almost an island, with a swift tributary of the River Lynn sweeping down one side and raw coastline biting into the other. It should have soothed Serena to be surrounded by so much water, but this wasn't the water she knew. This water was brutal. She focused on nothing but the footpath she trod. Each clumsy step sending a jolt of pain through her knee. Her room was only minutes away, but those stretches of grass between buildings felt remote. The university campus didn't seem to exist on a map, but as its own sequestered world, inaccessible by invitation. Mist hung over the winding path like a headache, leaving only a few feet ahead as clear as Serena's walked. The screaming calls of seagulls sounded unearthly, and creatures of myth must surely live in that ether. Ooh.
Intriguing start, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. It definitely sets the scene very, very quickly, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does. You feel cold and uneasy.
Yeah, definitely. I think throughout the entire book, actually, when I was picturing it in my head, it was giving like Hogwarts vibes.
Yeah.
That was kind of how I pictured the whole university campus throughout the entire book. So would you recommend this book to somebody, and what kind of reader do you think would most enjoy it?
So I think the writing is beautiful. So I would definitely recommend it because of just the such evocative writing. And I loved the themes in the book. I felt like it got a little bit, there were a few too many things going on. I think maybe it could have been a longer book or it could have been different aspects of the book. I particularly loved the competitive swimming background of the main character. I thought that bit was written so well, and it was so. I've never read anything like that before about that kind of ambition and pushing your body so far. And also, she was really tied to the other people that were invested in her, like the coach and her mother. And I felt really claustrophobic and really, what's the word? Just the pressure, I think, was massive. And then when it all sort of fell apart, that was really massive. Because I've thought about that before with people who achieve success when they're really young, and then your body just can't do it anymore, and how you would then adjust to life. So I found that fascinating. And I also loved the cousin who was an influencer, and their rivalry was really interesting because they were both, and it was both about bodies and what your body could do. And Zara, she's a body positive influencer, isn't she? So she's kind of saying, well, she is saying that everybody is beautiful. But then there's a funny thing there because, yes, she's saying that it doesn't matter what your body looks like, but she's also using her body to say that. So there was an interesting sort of body issue.
A bit of a contradiction, weren't it?
Yeah, I wasn't sure how I felt about that. And then obviously, as you go on, you realize that she's not really that breezy about the influencer thing. It's really important to her, and she's really tied her own self-worth to it.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think actually towards the end, when they were having that conversation about when Zara was saying how basically she was always a bit jealous of Serena, and that she always wanted a body like her, and then but then when it comes to her social media, she like depicts herself as this perfect person who doesn't care about what her body looks like and that she's beautiful. And then there's a scene where she gets her, I think it was it Thanksgiving or Christmas or some, well, not Thanksgiving, this is in England, around Christmas, where she gets her to go outside and take loads of pictures of her. She says, "No, I don't want to look smaller. My flesh has ripples when I move, and that's vital. They need to see how I actually look." And she makes her take more pictures where it looks more real. But then she adds a filter to the post and says, "Oh, it's okay to make things look a little bit warmer. It doesn't make it look less authentic." And you think that's such a contradiction, because you really want to look authentic and real, but you don't really, because you want to look like this airbrushed version of your perfect self. And I think that's such an important and pivotal thing in this time, that everybody's posting on Instagram, Facebook, TikTok, whatever. And they're only showing, I mean, we had a conversation about this yesterday, didn't we? About people posting their lives on social media, but they're only showing the best bits. And you sit there and think, "Oh, yeah, well, these people are perfect. I wish I had a life like them." But then you see them in real life and they're moaning about their kids or their partner, or something else has happened that's not perfect, but yet you just don't see that.
Yeah, and there's a real toxicity, I think, especially in the influencer world that Zara talks about, because as soon as she goes off message, her fans who have been so building her up so much, they just go for her, don't they?
Oh
They're
yeah, they
not safe.
completely turn on her because she's talking about something important. I mean, body positivity is obviously incredibly important, but when she starts talking about real issues in like the area that she's in and the stuff that she's having to deal with on a daily basis, people are like, "Well, I don't go to that uni, so why should I care?"
Yeah.
But it's the bigger picture, isn't it? That it's not just happening at that university. This is the world that we live in.
Yeah, but that was slightly confusing for me, what the big protests that happened. I think there were so many things in the book that you got a bit lost about what they were protesting. I love all of the themes in the book. I love, women's power and that I'm really interested in the witch trials. I've read a lot about that sort of thing, so I loved all the bits of it, but it was just almost a little bit too much. It was like such a massive topic, I guess. I guess that's the problem.
Yeah, I completely agree. I wanted to learn more about every single topic. Like you say, it could have done with either being like two or three books or triple size, because I mean, there was Serena's swimming coach. Like, I wanted to learn a little bit more about him. I wanted to learn more about Jane. I wanted to learn, there were so many characters that I really wanted to know a little bit more about and to understand, and that Luke character as well. Where it kind of just felt like it was glossed over a little bit, especially that scene towards the start where Tanya was spiked, which led her to then fall into the river, and then we never heard anything about her again. And I really wanted to learn more about her and see how she was getting on and how it affected her and her life. But I guess there, because like you say, there was so many different like little plots going on in the book, that it would be like an 800-page book if she was to kind of investigate everybody's character a little bit more. But yeah, I mean, I really enjoyed the book, and I found that it made my blood boil quite a lot. Especially, I think for us, we're probably the perfect people to read this book as women, and to talk about it, because I just found it absolutely ridiculous that they even needed to ask just to feel safe. It should just be a given that we are all actually safe. And the fact that it they actually had to fight that and try and get people to notice it, and people were just kind of punishing them for speaking out. It's just everything that's wrong with the world.
And actually, there was a really interesting bit in it that was more about privilege than male female, because they were talking about that group of, and it was all boys at the university, in the kind of, I guess she was referencing the kind of Eton gangs that we've heard about. I don't know if gang's the right word, but those, drinking ceremonies and just that real sense of entitlement. And I just think they don't really think about other people, don't really care that it affects other people. And so I think that was almost more of an interesting way that she could have gone. And then there was also the two friends, the two male friends who were really helping them and supporting them, Dean and Luke. And they would be interesting stories as well. Like they were sort of, good guys, and they were helping, and they were, so that's interesting.
Yeah, I did think there was one part actually that I thought that it happened so often. Let me see if I can find it. Where I think, I don't know whether it was Luke or Dean, but one of them said, oh yeah, but we can't ignore the violence against men. It's not just happening to women. And I found that really irritating because I feel like that's such a typical response from so many guys, is you have a conversation about, like, for example, the Barbie movie. You, as women, we watch that movie and we're just in awe because of the message that it gives. Whereas I know so many guys that have watched that film and like, yeah, but we have it hard too, you know? Like, yeah, okay, that's fine. Make a movie about it if you want. But this movie is about women empowerment and the struggles that women have to go through. So why does it always have to be, oh, well, we can't ignore what's going on with guys too?
Yeah.
Okay, but you're ignoring what's going on with guys. You make a movie, you write a book about it, and then we'll read it and we'll understand.
And it, equality, until we get equality, you can't have that argument. Of course, there shouldn't be a movie just about women being amazing, but we're not there yet. And I think
No.
that's the thing. And I think possibly the younger generation, it's always been that girls can, they feel that girls can do whatever they like, but historically, that's not been the case. And I think that's why this book was interesting to bring all the witch stuff in, because I mean, it's that is absolutely fascinating. And there's a line in the book actually, which is just I've just remembered, and she says, "What is a witch but a woman with power?"
Yeah, it puts it all into perspective, doesn't it? Absolutely.
Did reading the book impact your mood? You just said that some of it made you cross.
It did. Yeah. It most of the book I was very irritated, to be honest. In a good way that I think her writing does like bring emotions out of you, which I thought was really clever. But yeah, I think just that topic, this topic in general of equality and like minority groups being ignored and being made to feel like they're the ones that are in the wrong for standing up for themselves. That whole topic just in life really irritates me because I can't see why. I think as well, coming from like say I'm in my 20s, I've always just been taught to do what you want, and the limits are endless. There is no limits. You can just do whatever you want. If you put your mind to it, you can do it. So to read a book where that's not necessarily the case, I just find it hard to wrap my head around because I'm like, why would that not be the case? It should be for everybody. I don't care like who you are. If you're a decent person and you've got ambition, you'll go wherever you want to go.
And like the power thing, why can't we all have the power that we need? It doesn't mean you're taking other people's power away.
No, exactly. And I found that irritating as well with the whole Serena and Zara like rivalry, in that both of these women have the same issue. It's all like body positivity, and they're both women who are struggling with like fear of men basically, and yet they can't seem to bond. And there's jealousy and there's rivalry. And I think there was actually a part where it said like women are so often pitted against each other, and it was safer to be I to isolate them as rivals. But when they all pushed in the same direction, it was overwhelming. And I think that was the part where they were all on the beach working together. And it's like, oh, well, if they actually are all on the same side, they can literally do anything. But yet they were, like you say, being pitted against each other. And re when realistically they should have been working together. And then Zara then sent that naked picture of Serena and again showed kind of why that partnership just was not ideal.
Yeah, there's a great bit where I think it's when Zara first starts to get lots of followers and they're sitting around as a family. And Serena's mum, who's obviously Zara's auntie, says, "This is a great achievement, Zara." Her mother was impressed with Zara's prowess. 5,000 people, more than had ever filled the stands to see Serena swim, more than knew her name. When she looked back, she knew that Zara would have claimed more space as her own. But that's just so. And it's not unusual, but why is there only limited space?
Yeah, exactly. And why can't they both be happy for each other? And I think thinking about their age and like when I was in school, that was such a common theme throughout my school in that you had the popular girls that took up all the space, and then you had the less popular girls and the people that were trying to just get on with life. And there was almost a competition all the time, like who can be the best? And why can't there just be space for everybody?
Yeah.
But yeah, I guess that's just, I think it's a very relatable book in that aspect, in that at some point in life, everybody's kind of, especially women, had a very similar relationship where your friend just cannot be happy for you. No matter what you do, they're jealous or they want to do better than you. And then, for example, like with that Luke guy, Zara was sitting on Luke's lap at one point and they were flirting a little bit. And what? Zara didn't even like him.
Yeah.
She was genuinely just doing it because she knew that Serena liked him and she wanted to basically take him as her own so that Serena couldn't have him. Same with the when Zara turned up in the Ariel costume,
Yeah, the
and
mermaid costume, yeah.
knowing that Serena would be a mermaid, and yeah, I just oh,
Yeah.
she really wound me up.
So that is interesting, actually, because one of our questions that we sometimes ask is how does the book's title work in relation to the book's contents? So I was just thinking about that they were kind of drowning each other.
I mean, I think on a surface level, I don't think the title has a massive amount to do with the rest of the book because obviously there's that part in the at the start where that woman right at the start, Tanya, she almost drowns and Serena saves her. And then there's little bits and bobs about the witches being drowned. But I think it doesn't have a massive amount to do with the actual plot of the book and the message. When I first looked at the front cover and saw the thing, saw the title, The Drownings, I genuinely just thought it was going to be about loads of people that were being drowned all the time. But that's like as at face value, that's what you would expect. But there's lots of like little themes running through it that kind of relate back to it, doesn't it?
Yeah, definitely. There was one bit, let me see if I can find it, where she talks about, yeah, all island cultures have similar legends. Skelpies and Kelpies in Scotland, Nixies in Scandinavia, Ninjo in Japan, water spirits, usually female in form or energy, that emerge from the sea to cause havoc. Just, I guess Serena emerges from her competitive swimming career and then has all this power, like physically and also that desire to be seen and to have attention, maybe that's in her, and then she needs a new cause
Yeah.
fight for and to have to get power again.
Yeah, 100%. I think she just feel a little bit lost, doesn't she?
Yeah.
Without the swimming. And there was a part like obviously where COVID kind of happened, and it was very apparent the effect that that had on her not being able to swim and the fact that like it slowed her body down and she obviously had all this ambition and she's a very determined person and to have that kind of stripped away from her she kind of lost the love for it.
Yeah, and she's getting older. Like that was a real ticking thing all the time, wasn't it? Like she was older than a lot of the other competitive swimmers. And so to lose that year to COVID, she just could never catch up again, could she?
Yeah. It's such a shame. And again, that's something that was relevant to everybody during kind of the pandemic
Yeah.
time of our lives that we all had to go through. That seems like it was a bad nightmare that didn't actually happen. Who's your favorite character?
That is a tough one. I was definitely most interested in Sarah, in Zara and Serena. I could really see those two characters very clearly, whereas the other ones are a bit murkier, further in the background. But yeah, I thought that it was so interesting to pit those two things next to each other, the competitive swimming and the influencer.
Yeah.
I did like those two. What about you?
I think Serena was definitely my favorite just because of how strong she was as a woman, and how even throughout her childhood, how determined she was. She literally gave up all of her friendships, her childhood, all of her school life. She gave up to be determined to this one thing that she was passionate about. And I think even in the first sort of like 13 pages, you really got to know her really well with the writing that Hazel's done. It's really clever. And you could tell that she was genuinely a kind person, as well as that she didn't tell anyone or brag about the fact that she saved that woman from drowning.
No.
She just did it, and she was keeping that to herself, and she didn't want any recognition for it, and she just got on with life. Like, yeah, of course I did that. Why wouldn't I have? As if it's such a small thing that anybody would have done, but a lot of people wouldn't have put themselves in that danger to save somebody else.
Yeah, especially when she had a damaged knee as well. She was physically disadvantaged, wasn't she? Said
Yeah, absolutely.
that she was so determined to be a swimmer. I think that's true, but I also wonder if it was more the fact that the coach had approached her and told her that she was good at it. And I don't know if this has ever happened to you, but if someone says that they see something in you, you tend to believe it more. I wonder if that also happened with Zara when she suddenly started to get lots of likes and lots of followers. Like, we don't really believe in our own powers, for want of another word. But when other people give it to us, we can run with it a bit more.
It's the validation, isn't it? That if somebody gives you that validation, you do believe it more than if you tell yourself it.
Yeah. She was hearing his voice more than her own. And
Yeah.
actually says at one point, this man's voice should never have been in her head. Yeah, she was listening to her own words. And I thought that was great.
Yeah, 100%. And I really liked, there was a point where she was waking up before everybody else to be able to go swimming. And there was a quote that said, "Serena recognized that color. It was the sky that everyone saw. In the water, she witnessed a world most people never knew. They woke after the wonder had faded." And I just, that was like on page 13. That was really early on in the book, and that really stuck with me. That it just, I could just really picture the world waking up, and
Yeah.
she'd already been awake for God knows how many hours, and she had this amazing experience that she was awake before everybody else was even conscious.
Yeah. I think the author is so good at capturing little moments like that. It's so vivid. The little details that really bring a scene to life. She's just brilliant at that sort of writing, I think.
Yeah, absolutely. You could really picture everything that was kind of going on, couldn't you?
Yeah, the bit where Serena destroys all her medals, that was
Oh,
very
yeah.
interesting, like how much fury she had. It was a good
I
scene.
completely forgot about that part, actually. Yeah, there were so many different aspects to the book, weren't there? It's kind of hard to remember all of them.
Definitely. What did you think about her sort of powers that she sort of developed throughout it?
I found it quite random, to be honest. I thought that part could have been left out, to be honest. Like it was very, I get it was quite relevant to like the witch kind
Yeah.
of period, but it didn't add much to the book, I guess.
I
Especially,
think it could have been related more to manifestation, because I think that's a big thing. And Zara was doing some manifestations on her, was it Instagram that she was on? So I think those two things could have been interesting, like willing things with your mind and the kind of the woo-woo world of manifesting things, sort of juxtaposed with Serena doing things. I mean, sometimes she used those powers for good, but a lot of the time it was just destruction, wasn't it? It was just like this power and this anger that she didn't know what to do with.
Yeah, I think that was my initial thought, was that she was manifesting all of those things. But the part where she did it to herself, that to me was a bit irritating, because I thought, if you didn't want to swim, just don't. Or if you needed a break, just don't. Why would you put yourself in that m amount of pain? But I shows that I guess it shows kind of how desperate she was, doesn't it?
I think it was all about not letting the coach and her mum down, because there was all this pressure, sort of unspoken pressure from her mum, because she'd had a gymnastics career that her parents didn't support her with, didn't push her. And then she kind of did that classic thing of overcompensating by putting so much pressure on her own daughter. So, yeah, but there are just so many things in it, aren't there?
There absolutely is. What did you think of Jane?
Wasn't sure about Jane. I kept thinking that there was something else that we were going to find out. You know,
Yeah.
as the book got sort of a bit stranger and a bit more fantastical, I kind of thought, is she like a reincarnation of one of the witches? Is what's her story? I mean, we did kind of find out the story about she had a friend that she couldn't help and she carried all this guilt about it. But I felt like there was more, there could have been more coming up about Jane.
Yeah, I mean, from my thriller background of reading a lot of thriller books, I was expecting a massive twist from Jane. I mean, to the point where my initial thought, I made sure I wrote this down right when it happened, because I didn't want to get to the end of the book and if I was right and I thought that I knew what was going to happen, I needed to make sure that I wrote it down so that people could actually believe that I guessed it. But I thought that Jane originally might have been the one who was doing like the spiking and was the reason why Tanya fell into the river. Because why would she be? I thought maybe she was going to do that, and then she knew that Tanya would have been walking on that path. And why would she have been there walking along that river? I was like, that's definitely going to happen. That's definitely going to happen. And then so I wrote it down at page 62 when it happened. And I thought, at some point, I'm going to go back to that note and I'm going to have been right. But it went on a completely different tangent. And I'm quite glad, actually, because it makes so much more sense.
Yeah, because I guess that the thing at the beginning where she falls into the river, that's a whole different thing again, because it's not about other people's power necessarily. It was more about the power of that dangerous bit of river and then the students not feeling safe to live there so close to that dangerous river where people died accidentally as well as deliberately.
Yeah, absolutely. And I also thought as well, like, Jane was a lecturer. She was working at the university, and her relationship with the students, I personally thought was very inappropriate. And the fact that she was like, the when the students were going to like the coffee shop and having like going to the fairground and having like social time together, the fact that she was there, I just couldn't wrap my head around. Why is this not being frowned upon? Surely that's unethical. It might be different. I never went to uni. I don't know what the relationship between like professors and students are, but obviously when you're in school, that doesn't happen.
I think she wasn't that much older than them. I think, is she a post grad? So she's
Yeah.
recently qualified. But yeah, I found it all a bit strange.
Very, very strange. But yeah, that was my main. I didn't like Jane at all. I thought she was a very odd character.
Yeah, there was something a bit off about her.
Yeah.
Do you think that this would work as a movie? Can you see it?
I could, because I genuinely think it might be one of those odd occasions that happens very rarely, where the movie might give us more information than the book. I think if it was a film, we'd be able to see a lot more detail about the characters. Like you say, we knew so much about Serena and Zara, but we wanted to learn so much more about like the swimming coach. Like, was he dodgy? But if we could see the actions that he was performing and the stuff that he was doing, we would know whether it was dodgy or not. There was kind of a bit of a grey area where we didn't really know whether this guy was weird, or whether he genuinely was so passionate about making these swimmers as best as they possibly could be. So, yeah, I definitely think it could be a decent film, actually.
Well, quite, it could be quite a sort of arty, weird film as well. You know, it could not tell you stuff and just be a bit eerie and creepy. It could go a lot of different ways because there's so much in it.
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, good. Well, so I think we've both got a lot out of it. Lots to discuss.
That brings us to the end of our deep dive into The Drownings by Hazel Barkworth. We hope you've enjoyed exploring the layers of power, rivalry, and resilience with us. It's certainly given us a lot to think about. And don't forget, Hazel's going to be joining us on the podcast very soon, so make sure you subscribe so you don't miss that episode. It's going to be a fascinating conversation about the inspirations behind her book and her writing journey. If you've read The Drownings, let us know your thoughts. Drop us a message on socials or leave a comment on the podcast platform that you're listening to us on. We love hearing from our fellow book lovers. And if you haven't yet picked the book up, consider this your sign to do so. Thanks for tuning in to The Write Club. Until next time, happy reading and happy writing.